Hello and welcome to episode 35 of the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Ankita.
And I'm Meenu.
And this week we're talking to Sukhminder Kaur from Leicester.
From a young age, Sukhminder was an emotional eater who was gaining weight, and this caused a lack of self-esteem. But this year she overcame her insecurities to participate in the Miss Plus Size North India 2017 pageant held in Chandigarh, where she was among the top 16. So without further ado, let's jump right into the show.
Welcome to the show, Sukhminder. It's such a great pleasure to have you here with us to address such an important topic.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really glad to be here today to talk to you guys.
With the work that you've done so far, you've been helping so many young women and even men to come to terms with accepting their own bodies, especially in our Desi culture where there's constant scrutiny from all sides and you're either considered to be too thin or too fat. There's never a perfect balance.
It's so true. It's sad that we still live in a society where there is you have to conform to a certain way. She's too fair. Everybody wants to be fair. She's too dark. She's too heavy. She looks like this. She looks like that. And it should just be about the person on the inside. And it's so sad that society actually makes people insecure about the way they look. Nobody has the right to make you feel like that. And, you know, it's up to the individual to be strong within themselves and to counteract all that negativity. I truly do believe in that.
Everyone has an opinion, as you just said, Sukhminder, and you've been teaching many Desis, especially, a lesson or two when it comes to respect. So let's just start right at the very beginning. We'd love to hear about your childhood and what it was like growing up in Suffolk.
So yeah, I was born in Leicester, and then I only stayed here for a couple of years, and then I moved to Suffolk. My dad's job took us there. I lived in a predominantly white area, so my brother and I were the only Indians in school. We mixed with English kids, and I never really thought about being Indian or anything like that as such. I made friends, but I was always the third wheel. So I'd always end up being friends with two girls that were best friends, but I was always that kebab mehadi, as they say. So I was always that third wheel, and I really wished that I found that person that was my best friend. But I came from a very traditional background. I didn't go out as much. I didn't socialize as much. So a lot of my friends, they'd always ask me out to hang out in town, to maybe go to the cinema. And I didn't really do any of those things. So I kind of stayed at home a lot, and I kind of didn't make many friends because of that situation. And that's kind of when I did kind of turn to food, shall we say, as company. That's the introduction of having food as my company. And I was there till about the age of 20, 21. So I went through my A-levels there, I did my GCSEs there, and up to the age of about 16, 17, then I went on to work. So in a work environment, obviously, you're older, socialising is a different way of doing things. So you go out for dinners, you go out for to the bars, things like that. Again, that was something I never really did. I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't really connect with people because I was at home all the time. And I became a recluse. Work was the only place where I'd socialize with people and maybe go out once in a while, but I was still a very lonely person. And in fact, when I was about 18, 19 years old, that I started to think that I was fat. And I basically felt that I didn't look right and I didn't fit in. And even although I didn't question it as much, that was a time when it did actually begin for me, the questioning and doubting myself.
Sorry to interrupt you there, but you did mention that your childhood, what it was like, and you just say you're a kebab mehadi sort of thing. Yeah. But did your parents notice this? And did they think, okay, Sukhminder maybe feels a bit lonely in her social setting, or she feels a bit isolated? So did they encourage any extra activities or any sports or anything else?
No, not really. I never really mentioned it to them. You know, as I said, it was a very traditional upbringing where, you know, I didn't really go out a lot because, oh, don't go out, you can't go out. You know what it was like when you were a little bit younger, your parents wanted to protect you. And I never really complained, and I just saw it as a way of life. So I just went with it, really.
And your parents, I mean, you're Punjabi, right? So all Punjabi people eat Sajdaj Ke, and we eat a lot of food. And
yeah.
What was it like when you grew up? I mean, I'm Hindu Punjabi, so my mom always fed me a lot of paranthe and chole and everything. But there was a point where she realized that, okay, I can't give her so much food because it's not healthy.
Yeah.
And did that kind of mentality live around your household?
No, I didn't really eat much at home. You know, my mum was a good cook. We always ate desi khana, and we were fed well as kids. Whatever we wanted to eat, we'd eat it. But I turned to junk food quite a lot.
Right.
My mum would make roti, dal, sabji, whatever it may be. I used to come home, what's for dinner? Mum will say sabji, dal, and I'd say, oh, is there anything in the freezer? And my mum would say, there's roti. If you want to eat it, that's what I'm doing. And I would still go against that and go for something else. It didn't satisfy me. I don't know what void I was trying to fill, but it didn't really fulfill me eating home-cooked fresh food. So although we did have fresh food in the house and it was always cooked, I always wanted to hit the junk food. I have no reason as to why at that time, but looking back, it makes sense why I did.
And you say you suffered for a long time with emotional eating, and this was quite possibly a result of low self-esteem is what you're saying. But do you have any idea what this probably stemmed from? Do you remember any clear episode or any incident which kind of marks the beginning of this phase of your life?
I think it was I remember being about 16, 17 years old, and I went to the fish and chip shop, and I just got a portion of fish and chips, and I got a large one, and I ate it all on my own. I was a bit lonely that day, and I don't know why I was feeling quite down, and I brought it home and I ate it, and I just thought I could eat a bit more. And that's when I realized that, wow, I'm hitting the food hard here. Mom will cook for me at home, but I don't want to eat that. I want to eat something big. I think the reason I started to feel like that was because I did feel a little bit lonely in life, you know, not many friends around me. And like I said, there had been the kebab. So I think I did turn to food for company around 16, 17, but that did change a little bit later. After about my 20, when I was about 21, 22, I moved back to Leicester for about 2-3 years. It wasn't as hard then because I changed my friends, my life changed a little. And then after that, I moved to India, mid-20s. I moved to India for about 4 years. I lived in Mumbai. And there, my dad said to me, so what are you doing with your life? And I was basically like, I don't know. And dad suggested I go to Delhi to study acting. So that was a really good opportunity for me. I didn't study at university. I'd never lived away from home. So all of that socializing, meeting with friends, I was able to do that for 3-4 months. And that was a really nice experience. Now, during my time in India with the heat, I actually started to lose weight. So I lost about 3-4 stones in India alone.
Right.
It made me feel more confident about myself, and I felt good. And I looked back at my life and thought, I can't believe I didn't do this before. Oh, the weather's good in India, so you drink a lot more water, a lot of fresh food. I concentrated on what I ate, and my body, my self-esteem came back.
So you said that you were a skinnier kid, and was it like an uphill battle from the age of 15, 16?
I've never remembered being anything but a minimum of a 14, 16. That's my earliest memory.
Oh, but from the age of 15, it was sort of like it was getting to you because you were feeling lonely and you didn't have a lot of friends.
Yes, that's right. That's when the weight did start and the clothes started to get tighter. And that's when it started to hit me, that the weight gain from 16, 17 onwards. But my mentality was, oh, I'll start next week. It will be fine. Don't worry about it. But next week never came.
And Sukhminder, what kind of support did you have while you were going through this? Because it is a tough time. And in our Desi culture, at least, it's not an open conversation we can comfortably have at home. And did people even understand? If you tried to talk to anyone, did people understand what you were going through?
I didn't talk to anyone about it. I mean, to the outside world, I was fine. There was no, you know, at home, everything was good. I don't know what that loneliness stemmed from. But the time when we did have conversations is when I went to India. And my dad, obviously, like I said, my dad sat me down, what do you want to do? And he said, I think whilst you're here, it would be good with the weather being good to, you know, maybe get into a health and fitness regime. I think my parents by then did think, okay, she she needs to lose weight. And even I agreed for the support to actually lose the weight. So it was around my mid-20s I started to talk to my parents about it. Before, I never did. Why? I look back and I can't answer that. I honestly can't answer that, because I didn't really see it as a problem. I was just going through life being normal. It was just normal because I didn't know any other way. So it just seemed like that was what life was. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. When we go through tough times like these, it's quite common for most people to have a sort of tunnel vision, right?
Yeah.
You don't see anything outside of it. And it becomes very hard to break out of that cycle and see, or even possibly think that there could be some light at the end of the tunnel. So at the time when you found solace in food, did you realize what you were doing to yourself? Did you understand the gravity of what was happening?
No, not at all. Not at all. I'd always think I can just do it today and I'll be okay tomorrow. But even when I was in the act of eating the food, I would eat it so fast and think that will give me that kick that I need. But when I'd finish my food, I wasn't fulfilled. With like that fish and chip story, I wasn't fulfilled. I needed something else. And I just kept going to food. Food, food, food was the answer. If I got stressed out, I'd hit food. If I was at home bored, I'd eat food. And it just gradually, progressively got worse. And I think by the time I was in my mid-20s is when it did hit me, how clothes were tight, I didn't look good in photos, I didn't want to really go out anywhere, wearing the big baggy clothes, more of a tomboy, because I preferred wearing the big t-shirts and the baggy trousers. So India was the change for me to lose weight.
So if there's a young person listening to this right now and feels that food is the only medium to down his or her feelings in, and then how would you even approach this child today and explain that this tendency could be quite harmful?
I would say you need to have conversations with yourself, because by having conversations with yourself, you know, you need to understand you've got to be happy within yourself. If you're not happy within yourself, you won't get that positive energy back. You need to understand why you feel like that, what's going on in your life that to make you feel like that, what you need to change the way you feel and act on it.
And Sugminda, there was also a point when you only saw negative things about your body, and so much so that you hated even getting ready to go out because you didn't like what you saw in the mirror, as you had just mentioned. But then you started making the conscious effort to focus on your best features, and at the risk of sounding shallow, I wanted to ask you what your favorite feature is today about yourself.
Well, my favorite feature I've got is my smile. I have to say I'm quite proud of my teeth. I had a brace when I was younger, so thank you, Mom and Dad.
Oh, me too.
Sorting that. You have a brace, don't you?
I did. No, Meenal has braces even now, but I had to go through two orthodontic treatments because my teeth are really messed up. So
I had them at a young age, which I'm so glad I did. It wasn't fun and it really hurts, but I have to say I believe my smile to be my most favorite feature, which I didn't like before, but I like what I see in the mirror now. I'm still a work in progress.
Oh, you're very beautiful, Sukhminder. We're going to put up your pictures everywhere. You're going to plaster your face on the internet for this interview, but you're really beautiful.
Bless you. Thank you so much.
So on this podcast, I feel like one way or the other, we always come back to the question of educating children about the various stigmas that we discuss over here. And kids have very little life experience and a hell of a lot of curiosity. So in the previous episode that we recorded with Tia Bhatia, Meenal mentioned that this curiosity may come off as rude, direct, and bullying questions sometimes. But at the end of the day, when a child asks a question, it's mostly just out of curiosity. And I feel really ashamed to admit this, but I was once a child who asked someone why a particular plus size girl kept gaining weight. And although that kind of behavior is inexcusable, this question to me was very genuine because I have an extremely high metabolic rate. And I don't know if you'd believe this, Sukhminder, but for the last 10 years, I've literally been the same weight. And my parents used to try and force feed me extra so that I would gain more weight and look moderately healthy according to Indian standards. So when I asked that question, what I just wanted to understand was that I couldn't believe that someone else could have a completely different body because I was really young. But on the other hand, I'm really short. And when kids used to ask me why I never grew tall, I used to take offense. it's just so funny to me right now to think that I never made the connection that I was basically doing the same thing to another kid by not understanding. So kids,
sorry to interrupt. Yeah, I was going to say you think it was rude to ask why is she gaining weight, but maybe you felt insecure about yourself because you weren't gaining the weight.
Yes, I wanted to know. Like, I'm eating so much and I'm not gaining weight. What is happening here?
I think it seemed rude, but it wasn't because obviously you had an issue as well.
Yeah, and I was not even growing tall. I was not growing, so I had a big issue. So I feel like kids really need to be taught these things from childhood. And there's always a need to have this healthy discussion around all of these topics. So what do you think is the best way to ensure that your child doesn't even accidentally ask the wrong questions or say something hurtful to someone else?
The thing is, children are so innocent and they don't know right from wrong. And like you say, they are curious. They want to learn. They want to be educated. So it's our responsibilities as adults to educate their little minds and make them understand what, you know, not everybody is the same. Not everybody comes in different, the same heights and same weights. We all come in different colors, in different shapes, in different sizes. And if children are conditioned at a younger age, then their mindsets will be developed to embrace different things as they get older. I truly believe that. And I also believe that the media is such a powerful form. They have a responsibility to the communities out there to portray the correct message. We live in an age of photoshopping, tucking in those hips, nipping that waistline. Why? Why do we do that? It's just crazy. I just can't get my head around it. And if anything, things such as the Asian bridal magazines, I was married, and when I was looking for all my wedding shopping, things like that, what's the first thing a bride does when she's getting married? She picks up Asian woman, you know, picks up magazines, and she wants to start looking at lehenga, salwar kameezes, things like that. I started to look at them and think, yeah, I'm not going to look good in that. Yeah, that's a really nice lehenga. I'm not going to look good in that either, because I couldn't envisage that slim girl wearing that lehenga, how it would look on me. I would not look like that. Wouldn't it be great if we had plus size models in those glossy bridal magazines? I would feel better seeing a plus size woman wearing that lehenga, wearing that sari, and I'd be able to envisage a little bit better that, yes, that would actually look good on me. No, I'm not too keen on that. I think the more we get plus size women out there, the more that, coming back to the children, they'll understand that it is normal. It's not different. Who's to say being plus size is not right? The only thing I can say is, yes, you do have health issues with being a heavier weight, but I'm somebody that truly believes in healthy eating and exercise. I try to eat healthy as possible now. I exercise. I'm doing a 7K run in a few weeks. I'm planning to do 10K by the end of the year. I'm not just sitting at home eating. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think just speak about how kids need to understand that everyone looks different and everyone comes in different shapes, and that's all the physical aspect of it. But there's also another thing that we need to look at, which is on the other end of the spectrum, where we have to look at how we can encourage people to live a healthy lifestyle. Like you just said, that you can be running 7Ks, you can be running 10Ks, but it doesn't mean you're a size 6 or a size 4.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not everyone has that size just because you run or swim. I mean, I'm an athlete myself, but I'm not a size 6 or a size 4.
Yeah.
I'm a healthy size 10, sometimes 12, sometimes 8. You know, it all changes.
Of course.
If you were to address a group of young kids today, what would you say to them about different body types, health and fitness? What would you tell them about how important it is about a healthy life and especially having a fitness regime in your lifestyle?
I would encourage them to be exercising and eating healthy from an early age to make them understand. And, you know, you don't want to scare them, but the risk of diseases, heart diseases, such things, and to be able to maintain, you know, always live a healthy lifestyle, eat well and exercise and carry that on throughout your life, and you will succeed with your health. You are doing the best thing for your body. That's the only way we can help our children in going forward.
This might be a personal question, but I think it's important to address here. Were you ever bullied about your weight?
I have to say, no, I was never bullied about my weight. I may have had the odd comment here and there, but I was never bullied about my weight at all. I'm very lucky in that sense that I wasn't. Yes. Yeah. I'm very lucky about that I was never bullied. It was just always me and my perception of how I was. I was overweight, yes, I still am, but I have to say, yeah, I was very lucky not to have got to that point where I was bullied, because at a younger age, I wasn't as big. It was after 18, 19 that I got bigger. And I guess when you're kind of around people that are more mature, they aren't as harsh as school kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so Gwinda, let's forget all of that. Let's get into the happy phase of your life.
Okay.
We've gone way into your childhood now. So let's get into the happy part of your life. And this is the current phase where you emerge as one of the 16 finalists on Miss Plus Size North India 2017 in Chandigarh. And you were also crowned Miss Popularity at the pageant. And this was the very first plus size beauty pageant in India. And while you were there, or even when you decided to participate, what was playing at the back of your mind? Was it a point when all your insecurities sort of rose to the surface, or did you feel that it was empowering you when you entered this contest?
By the time the competition came along, it was about February time this year. Over the last few years, I've totally changed as a person, and again, I got my weight back on track. I've lost a couple of stone and I was feeling good about myself. I got good people around me. They were uplifting me and I felt positive about life. And it's more so over the last, I'd say, year and a half that I felt quite empowered about who I was and where I'm going in life. And then this pageant came along. I just saw an advert on Instagram. And I thought, why not? It was just basically the initial sign up was just to register your interest. And I thought, what harm could there be? I can be in a beauty pageant. Why not? So I did it. And then they contacted me. Now, the auditions were actually in Amritsar, Chandigarh, Delhi, Ludhiana, Jalandhar. And I couldn't make those auditions because I am from the UK. And they asked me to send a portfolio to them, which I did. From the portfolio, that actually led to an interview online, and then I was luckily called and successful to make it through to the top 40 finalists and asked to come to Chandigarh for the final.
Oh wow, and you were the only British participant at the event. But now that you're getting recognized even around Leicester, do you think your position has helped you come in touch with a bigger community of plus size British Indian women?
Yes, I go to the gym and I look after myself as best as possible. So my friends are always saying to me, oh, you're doing really well. How do you do it? And people do ask me questions. And I do get asked now as well that, you know, I get mess ever since I came back from India. I've had people on my social media contacting me, girls saying you're so inspiring. But even mothers contacting me saying I have a daughter and I hope her mindset is educated. And I hope I raise her as best to understand that body sizes are different. You're really inspiring. And it's those kind of things that really uplift you and make you feel that, you know what, if you can help anyone in any way, and if you can do good, I feel like I've achieved something, because everybody is beautiful and we need to look at our beauty first before looking at negativity. Only then can you prosper. That's what I truly believe.
And while you were considering whether or not to participate, one of the main things that pushed you towards it was the knowledge that Bishambar Das was going to be one of the judges.
Yes.
And we know that she's an idol of yours, but could you just go into everything about her that inspires you?
Yes. So I met Bishambar a couple of years ago. I was at a very low point in my life. I just recently come back home after and in the process of a divorce. So I was in a very low point and she had a body confidence class. I'd been following her on Instagram for some time. So I thought, let's go. She's only in Derby, about half an hour away from me. So I thought it's local. And when I met her and listened to her story, she was someone that really did empower me and make me think that I am worth something. And she was such a lovely lady. When, you know, her classes involved makeup, she taught us a little bit about catwalking. We talked about body image and positivity and how to perceive yourself. And I went away from that class that day and I did feel that I looked at life a little bit differently. I didn't pursue anything at that point. I just remembered what Bishambar told us and carried that through. So when Bishambar who actually put this up on Instagram for the beauty pageant, Miss Plus Size North India. So I contacted her and just asked her, are you definitely the guest judge? And she confirmed everything, saying, yes, I am affiliated, go for it. And she again boosted me and I went for it. So I thought, if Bishambar is definitely a part of something like this, I will definitely be a part of something amazing. So that gave me the boost to go ahead and go for it.
But if I'm not mistaken, Bishamber herself has shared that she had a very unhealthy lifestyle at one point in her life, and she did say that she'd even eat sweets and cake for breakfast, and it was only after she reached a point where her knee started hurting from supporting her body weight that she started to think about hitting a gym and even managing her eating habits. So as someone who's gone through something like this, why do you think people even let themselves get to that extreme state before doing anything about it, especially when we live in a world where so much information is available right on our fingertips? Is it really a point mentally where you can't see further than your depression or your isolation?
I think basically what it comes to a point, it is a mental state of mind. And even though we have all the leaflets, all the, you know, the free online advice, it's up to that individual. Nobody can help you but yourself. And you have to realize what's right for you. I got to a point where I had aches and pains in my body as well. And I could have sat there and just complained about it all the time, or I could have done something about it. And I decided to do something about it, which was, of course, do the exercise and eat healthy. And that, and I realized I was nourishing my body. It's up to the individual. Nobody can force anyone into any situation. But again, I'm not saying it's acceptable to just keep eating. I do think we need to help those people a lot more in some way that can't break that vicious cycle of eating. And that's the only way they can better themselves. But of course, like I said, nobody can help you unless you really, really want to help yourself.
It's so amazing that you're actually doing so much to take care of your body, whether it's about eating healthy or running a 10K. You're aiming to run a 10K by the end of the year, but you did a 7K.
Hope so.
But we also know that there are some body positive people out there who say that exercise doesn't work and that there's no connection between your weight and your health, which honestly is quite an irresponsible message to put out there. So how do you think your community can continue to empower young men and women while distancing itself from people who might be, you know, damaging its image in this way?
At one time it used to be, oh, the Atkins diet is good for you. Eat meat, meat, eat, 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 eat that constantly. Then another time there's the cabbage diet. Then another time there's, you know, shake diets. Every time there is always something different. It's expensive. It costs money. And if you don't stick with it, you can't stick with drinking shakes for the rest of your life. You can't stick with eating fried food for the rest of your life to lose weight. Ultimately, the best thing to do for your body is to eat healthy. Get your five portions of vegetable, although I think it's about 8-9 by now. They always change that. Who's to say what is right? I just think you have to eat healthy and in some way be active every day to keep your body moving, keep your muscles supple, you know, get your heart rate up as much and up as often as possible. The weather's really great right now, so nobody's got no excuse not to go out right now. But I truly believe after all the fads, all the diets, it's just healthy eating and exercising. Exercising can vary. You can go to the gym. You can do it outdoors. Get a skipping rope. You can do that in your garden. It doesn't mean you have to actually go to a gym, pay subscription. Everyone can move in some way, or even just go for a walk. That's free. So everyone has a responsibility to look after their bodies. And they're ultimately, it's healthy eating and exercise. That is the way forward.
I'm so glad you said all this, Sukhminder, and it makes me really happy to hear that from you, because I've seen in the past year or so, there are some celebrities like Mindy Kaling and Amy Schumer, and they openly glorify their unhealthy eating habits. For example, they would say they're very proud of their lack of exercise and the effect these lifestyle choices have on their bodies. And I don't agree with that, because they say that they're proud of what their body looks like as a result of these choices, and good for them. But I don't think it's something that you should portray to society, especially to young girls who look up to you. But do you think that's the kind of message that people with so much influence should be putting out there? I mean, that was my opinion. What do you think? Especially when people like you who are looking for proper representation of 4+ size women, and you're actually taking care of your body.
Yes. That's a difficult one to answer, I'll be honest. I just believe anybody that has such power, like I said, the media, all these stars, if you have the power to change people's mindsets, you should use that power responsibly and portray the correct messages to people. I mean, people like that are very fortunate to be able to influence people and to have the power to be able to change people's mindsets. So I do believe that that has to be used in a correct way to influence their followers. So, but I mean, back to that question, saying, you know, I don't think it's each to their own, really. If you feel that's good for you, that's good for you. But, you know, down the line, who knows what ailments they'll have, what problems they'll have in life. But if that's how they're happy, that's how they're happy. But with regards to the message, it's a difficult one. I couldn't really say, because I don't think they actually should be saying that. It's up to the individuals. But then you've got people that are actually on these grapefruit diets. What's it like? There's one called a South Beach diet or something, a 5-2 diet, all these Hollywood style diets. It's the same saying I eat a lot is also is the one end of the spectrum to not eating a lot. So it's the same thing, really, but in two different categories, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we're battling both ends of the
spectrum
here, as you said, and it is very difficult. But I mean, I've seen some interviews with Mindy Kaling, and she openly speaks about how she devours McDonald's, and it gets to the point where you think she's getting paid to do it.
Endorsements.
Yeah, and she says that she does it about 3 times a week, and it makes it seem like that's something that's completely okay to do. And imagine if you, for example, were watching her, say, back in the day when you were an emotional eater, what effect do you think it would have had on you? Do you think it would have made you feel more encouraged to continue doing what you were doing?
I would have probably found that acceptable. Yeah. Thinking if you asked me the question that way, yes, I would have thought, oh, it's okay. But at the same time, you know, when I started to get those aches and pains, I'd probably look at this South Beach diet or cabbage soup diet and think, well, that's what's going to get me thin.
No, it's just that when people are in a vulnerable state of mind and body, they tend to hold on to anything and everything that can act as sort of a justification for their actions. So telling such a vulnerable person that you devour a bucket of chicken nuggets every day and you still look moderately healthy, it's really wrong on so many levels. I feel that way. Do you agree with me?
I feel, yeah, it's not responsible. It comes back to the same thing. I don't believe it's responsible in being as part of that social responsibility of being able to influence people. I don't think that sends out the right message to people. It makes it acceptable that keep eating those chicken nuggets and you'll be fine. But will you? But only time will tell.
But going back to how you are one person who's seeking representation for plus size women in mainstream media, like you said, in wedding magazines, Asian Bride and things like that. Have you watched the movie Dum Laga Ke Hai Sha?
Yeah, I love that film.
Yeah. So for anyone who's not watched it, the basic synopsis is it's set in rural India where this arranged marriage takes place between an ordinary guy and a plus-size woman. And while he's portrayed as a little bit of a loser, she's someone who's smart, witty, bursting with personality. And he doesn't find her attractive. So the rest of the plot you'll have to find out by watching the movie. But what I wanted to ask you was the actress in that movie gained weight for the role. And once it was out, everyone started gushing over her dedication and how thin she is in real life. And in the future of Bollywood and modeling in countries like India and Pakistan, how do you think you can get to a point where you can have actual plus-size women playing these roles instead of skinny actresses who are asked to gain weight in a short period of time?
It's happening. It's slowly happening because, like you say, Dum Laga Ke Hai Sha, there's also a serial on TV right now. What's it called? Dhai Kilo Prem Ke? Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So this is, like you say, okay, so it's a plus-size girl. It's based in India, plus-size girl. Plus size guy, he looks at her and calls her a fatty, but he's big himself. And she looks at him, she's like besotted by him. And, you know, she's surrounded by people that are actually looking at her weight. Even her own mother stops her in the day and tells her not to eat. Whereas her dad's like, lard, biard. He's like, khala, khala, kushni honda, kushni honda. And, you know, it's really, really good to have that kind of genre of topic on Indian serials. Who would have thought it? Because I've worked in Indian serials and I've seen the women. They are so thin. I remember actually being there on set and one of the actresses, her sari blouses were too loose and it fitted one actress. And I think for the next scene, she had to change. Now, the actress that was wearing it was already really, really thin. But the second actress, I could hear them talking about it. It was too loose for her. And I just thought, that's crazy. First actress is already thin, but this one's thinner. We should break away from that. They should be a bit more fuller figured. It's not healthy at all.
I think I have a faint memory of a Hindi serial. I can't remember the name, but my mom used to watch it, I think, of this girl who basically was a thin girl, and they put her in a suit to make her look plus size. And then the story was about her transformation, how she suddenly changes and becomes this thin, beautiful girl. So yeah, what you're saying makes a lot of sense, that all the women in mainstream media are mostly the thin kind, but you need to have more representation. So the serial you mentioned should be interesting.
Yes, it's on, I don't know what channel it's on right now, but it is such a good, it's, the comedy value is so funny. It's really good. So he wants to marry her friend, but he thinks she's too fat for him. For something like that, but she's besotted by him and she wants to be your she. She's so cute. You have to watch it. I'll Google the details and email them to you. So you...
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Sugminder, I think that ever since you started down this path, alongside being an icon and encouraging young women, you must have also put in a lot of thought regarding your beliefs and the message you want to share as an individual. So as a final question for today, could you share a message on body image or body shaming and the balance between a good health and loving your body for what it is?
Okay, yeah, of course. I truly believe that you have to believe in yourself before you can move forward in anything, whether that be your career, finance, anything like that, but also your body, your health. If you're not happy with yourself, whatever it may be, you have to change it. But at the same time, don't change it because society is making you change it. If you're comfortable with it, embrace it and push your shoulders back and just be loud and proud about who you are. Your mindset has to be your strongest tool, and only then can you ooze that finesse and have that self-esteem. I was just an average girl that was just doing my day-to-day thing, and I took a chance. I'm a normal girl. I took a chance and I went to India, and not only was I top 40, I made it to the final 16 and 500 people auditioned. Not only was I a part of history by being part of India's first plus size pageant, I created history by being the only British applicant. So if normal Sook can do that, imagine what you can do.
Oh, that was perfect.
Wow, I feel like I can take over the world right now, Sukhinder.
Let's go.
That was amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Sukhinder. It's been a great pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was actually a real pleasure for me too.
And if our listeners want to get in touch with you, where can they find you?
So I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. Both the same usernames. I'm Sukkaur, I'm Sukkaur, and also facebook.com/ I'm Sukkaur. So it's the same on everything.
Well, thank you, Sukhinder. We're leaving all your links in the show notes for this episode for our listeners, and thank you for being so honest and so open about how you feel about this whole issue of body shaming, because it's just so important for our young listeners to hear all about it. So thank you once again.
Thank you guys. I really appreciate you taking out the time and speaking to me.
And thank you, dear listeners, for joining in on our conversation with Sukhminder. Body shaming is a very touched upon topic in our generation and society, but it's important to find a balance everywhere. We hope this conversation brings you a new perspective, and we hope this helps you in some way or the other.
And while you're on social media checking out Sukhminder's journey, do check us out at Desi Outsiders. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Desi Outsiders. You can also drop in a mail with your thoughts, feedback, or questions to mail@desioutsiders.com. Please rate and review The Desi Outsiders podcast on iTunes and tell all your friends about us. Please, please, pretty please.
So until next time, I'm Ankita.
And I'm Meenal.
And we are The Desi Outsiders. Coolsies.